Hashem will start in a minute or two, and we want to continue analyzing the sugya of Akir Tzor Chanocha and how it impacts on Kimle V'Derabimine, and then Bli Neder, if we have time, to continue in the sugya of the Gemara here on Lamed Beis, the various scenarios in which he violates the Shabbos and his Chayav Momen at the same time. So now we're taking a look at the overview here of the Mishkas HaRoim, which is on page Yud Ches. You'll see it on the left column where he writes in bold print, B'sugya d'baba kama, b'madlik es ha-godish, v'ya evit kofes lo, ugdi somach lo. Now this piece that we're back to embark upon to study is an analysis of the Rashba, the Chidusha Rashba in Bava Kama. So let's open up for a moment to Resh Mem, and that you'll see, hopefully, on page Kuf Tsari Tes. On the top left column, he says, "Barashba v'chidusha l'bava kama b'dir maskel evid kofus hiksha di'af l'Rav Yochanan." Now, this is the Rav Yochanan of Isho Mishum Chitzov. Is potur? Am I potur? Ha mischayev begodish kolim shischayev benafsho shel ha evid. Okay, so let's try to understand what's going on over here. Now, in the case in Bava Kama on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, which is called the Sugya of Isho Mishum Chitzav, and Madlikas HaGodesh Vayeved Kofus Lo Gdi Somach Lo Potu Al Gdi VaHaGodesh Mitam Kibleid Ramimine. The Gemara establishes in Bava Kama Chav Beis Amid Beis that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if he lights up a Gaddish, and again, in this particular scenario, we're not interested in the payment for the Gaddish, but rather in the payment for a Gdi, somebody else's goat that was destroyed by this fire, and an Eved, and someone else's Eved that was tied down to the Gaddish in such a way that we can't expect the Eved to run from the flames, and he's potter on the Gedi, Kim Levi the Ramine. Why? Because the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan holds Isho Mishum Chita. However, according to Reish Lakish, who rejects Isho Mishum Chitzov, which means that Reish Lakish holds Isho Mishum Amono, then we don't have Kim Levi Midrabine. And the Gemara interprets this as a case of hitzitz begufo shel evet, that he lights the body of the evet, and Tosus there points out that he's potter on the gedi, even though the gedi was destroyed after the death of the evet, and even in the case of what's called kolulo chitzav liachem misas ha evet. Even though Tosus says that the Sreifa the Eved was a result of the Chitzav, and the Sreifa the Gedi was Machmas Mamono, we can still apply the principle of Kimlev Deramine, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Isho Mishum Chitzav, Ho'il V'al Yidei Maisa Echad Bo Hakol. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we see the lighting of the fire and all the repercussions as one continuous action. That's called Isho Mishum Chitzav. The Rashba, which you'll see on the top left column, in Chidusha V'Bava Kama, in the Sugya here of Eved Kofus, he says the following, that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Isho Mishum Chitzav, so when he lights the fire all that continuous burning is attributed to the Madlik, and therefore he killed the Eved, and at the same time he killed the Gedi, the Rashba is not happy with Kim Levi the Rambine. Why? Frek the Rashba, my potur, hamischayev begodish kodim sheischayev benafsha shel Eved. What happens is that he first kills the Eved, and then the fire continues and spreads until
first he burns the Kaddish, and then the Eved finally gets burned.
Right. I'm sorry. I switched around the order. So first he destroys the Gadish, and then he becomes Chayev on the Eved. So as far as the Gadish is concerned, there's no reason, says the Rashba, why he should be potter for payment, for compensation for the Gadish.
Right.
And the Rashba equates it to the sugi that we were learning here on Daf Lamed Beis of Gonev Kis B'Shavis, and then afterwards he carries the kiss out into Rishus HaRavim and violates the Isur Shabbos. So he violated the Isur Mazik, and he was Chayv Nezikin at the moment that he stole the kiss.
And only later he became
Chayv on Shabbos. Chayv, and he has to pay for the stolen wallet. And why is that? Mishum Shinis Chayv B'Gneva Kodam Shioli the Isur Shabbos. And the same thing should apply here, that he was already Chayv to pay Nezikin on the Gadish before he killed the Eved. Bafilu Neima Tavi Motzi Lemeimer LeTaimech. Right, the Gemara says that according to Reish Lakish, who did not accept the principle of Ishav Shumchitzav, he has to pay for the Gadish. But it's only according to Rabbi Yochanan and his potter. So the Gemara should have said LeTaimech, logically, even Rabbi Yochanan would have to assume that somehow he destroyed something, let's say, for example, a Gedi, at the time that he destroyed the Eved, but as far as the Gadish is concerned, then even Rabbi Yochanan would have to agree that he has to pay for the Gadish. So, Gamla Rabbi Yochanan de Mukile b'meitzis heitzis b'gufo shel Eved, akati tikshe, we could still ask the question, amai potu ala Gadish, what shaykh is kimle b'dramin on the Gadish? He's talking about a case where the Gadish went up in smoke after he destroyed the life of the Eved, or alternatively he killed a Gdi after he killed the Eved, so he lit up the Eved and then he's chayv Misa for that, and at the same time, well, I shouldn't say at the same time, but subsequent to that he destroyed the Gadish, or he destroyed the Gedi, whatever the case may be. So in that case, the Chiyuv Mamon is not simultaneous with the Chiyuv Misa. And just like in the Gemara in Ksubis that we're learning here, Gonev Kis B'Shavis, where he's Chayv for Mamon before the Iser Shabbos, before the Chiyuv Misa, so too in the reverse case, where the Chiyuv Misa came first, and then he destroyed someone else's Mamon, there's no simultaneity, and he should be chayav for the moment. We cannot apply the principle of kim levi d'ram mineh,
unless you see it as a continuous process.
Okay, excellent. That's what the Rashba is going to try to say. He says the following: Kedesanya, we have a brisa yotze lihareg shechaval be'acherim chayav. So now they're taking him out to die, and he destroys the property or the physical body of somebody else, and he's going to be chayev for hacha. And here too, since the chiv misa is chal already but sreifas ha'eved, lo tzarech sreifas ha'god, lo litzarech, right, we have the principle of akir tzarech hanocha, you can't call this a chiv misa tzarech sreifas ha'godish. Okay, these are the details in the sugi, but in any event, it's not simultaneous. Kosama Raj, but the Efshad Rab Yochanan, the Ishum Shum Chitzov, Kol She hates it, Afilu Begodish, Vyevit Kofus Lo, or Somuchlo, Kofus for Somuchlo, Vaini Yochel of Roach, in a way that the Evid is not responsible for his own death because he couldn't have fled. He was tied down. Is havile b'shas atzotzas ha'esh begodish rodef. So here's where the Rashba feels compelled to introduce a new concept into the equation, a new variable, and that is Rodef. So we're talking about a case where even if he lights up the Gaddish first, he's already considered a Rodef because the Eved is Kofas, so has no way, he has no escape route, right? So in that case, he's Potur for the damages on the Gaddish, or for that matter on the Gedi, under the law of Rodef. That Rodef itself, whenever he destroys Kalim, is Potur. Why? Because at the moment that he's in the process of being a Rodef, and he's Chayav Misa, he's no longer liable for any damages that he implements. Mm-hmm. So at this point, the Rashi was very happy to assume that if he lights up someone's Gaddish, he hasn't yet destroyed the Eved, he's still going to be potter for the Gaddish according to Rabbi Yochanan because of the Halach of a Rodef. The only problem that we're going to have here is what about Reish Lakish? Because the Gemara says that according to Reish Lakish, he's chayav to pay for the damages. We don't apply the principle of Isha Mishum Chitzov. But if we're applying the principle of Rodef, that even Reish Lakish should agree that he's potter for the Gedi or for the Gaddish. Elakati Kashali, this is the Lashon of the Rashba, L'Reish Lakish Da'avile B'Shas Hatzotzas Ha'esh Al Gufo Shel Eved Mischai B'Nafsho V'Achas Shemesa Eved Nisraf HaGodish.
As he started with the Eved,
right, he was Hitzis B'Gufo Shel Eved Is Amai Potter Al HaGodish. Why in that scenario are we saying that there's a Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? After all, he was a Rodef. Yesh Lomed De Nisraf HaGodish Kodim Shemesa Eved. In other words, the Gaddish was burnt up before he actually killed the Eved. Yeah, but so what? What about the law of a Rodef? Adayin Sarkli Talmud, Avol Nisraf HaGaddish Li'acha Shemesa Eved Chayav. So I understand that if the damage was done after the Misa Eved, he's no longer a Rodef at that moment of time. And it's not a Chiyuv B'Vasachas. The Chiyuv Misa took place before the Chiyuv Mamon of Nezikin. That's fine. Reish Lakish makes a lot of sense, and we're going to have to, we force him to pay for the Gaddish.
Is it understood that he killed the Eved with fire?
Yeah. It's not clear if he burnt the Eved directly or if he lit up the Gaddish, and the Gaddish, as a result of, let's say, what's called the Ruach Mitzuya, the fire in the Gaddish spread and killed the Eved.
It says here that the Eved was killed first. Nisraf HaGaddish,
right.
Achar Shemeta.
Right, that means that he was Hitzis B'Gufa Shel Eved.
Yeah.
He says, Aval Nisraf HaGaddish Li Achar Shemesa Eved Chayav. And according to Reish Lakish, what we mean is that the initial mazik or maisa hezik, which is the hadlaka, was completed the very moment that he burnt down, that he killed the Eved. And what happens afterwards is not a result of his original maisa. That's already called momena mazik, which means that his fire destroyed something. So if that be the case, let's see how he summarizes the Rashba. He says, "Umavur b'Rashba." The svirle de afilu bi ofen sheshnech yuvim boim al yidei maisa echad. So the Rashba is vacillating back and forth. What happened if he first destroyed the Gaddish? If he first killed the Eved and then he destroyed the Gaddish? But clearly, the Rashba wants to open up the possibility that there's no kimle v'derabmine in these cases because of the lack of simultaneity. But it's all being done al yidei maisa echad. Meaning, he lit up the Gaddish, and as a result, everything else happened. Why not say Kimlev the Rami in such a case? Even if it's not Chalim Ki Echad, even if the Chiyuv Mamon and the Chiyuv Misa are not simultaneous, but if it's done through one Maisa, that itself should make it into Kimlev the Rami. And that's the Tosfos. I learned this Tosfos a little bit before you came in, but you'll take a look and refresh your memory here in a Tosfos which is quoted here at the beginning of Resh Lamed Tes on the right side of this page. And Kosva Tosus Shom, Tosus says that if he burns down the Eved and then he burns down a Gedi, then he's potter on the Gedi, Afal Pisha Nisraf Liacha Misus Eved. And the reason for that, if you fast forward just three lines up before the end of that paragraph, is because Hoil V'Alidei Maisa Echad Ba'akol. So Tosis is committed to the position that we apply Kimde Ramine if there's one action that both engenders a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Mamon, even if the two Chiyuvim are not Chal B'Vasachas. And therefore Tosis says, I understand very well why in the case where he burnt down the he killed the Eved and then he killed the Gedi, he's parted from the Gedi because it's all one Maisa, even though the Chiyuv Nezikin took place or emerged after the Chiyuv Misa. The Rashba, on the other hand, is not willing to accept Tosus. The Rashba is addressing the case of Gedi Kofus Lo, and he's analyzing whether or not the Nezik took place before the Sreifa or after the Sreifa, but he's not willing to say that everything that occurred as a result of the Maisa Sreifa, and it's one Maisa, you know, he doesn't have to intervene actively in order to take this fire and apply it to the Gedi or to the Gadish. That's going to happen as a natural result of his action, so it's all one action. And yet the Rashba wants to say it's not considered a Vasachas. V'divrei HaRashba tzrichim iyun gadol. D'mayr v'yach b'tirutza v'mishas hatzot seish havi le'rodev mishum hachi potter al agadish. In other words, from the moment that he lights the fire, he's considered a rodev because this fire is going to spread and kill an Eved. Akati tikshei d'chiv misa d'rodevu rak b'rega hatzot zasa esh. He says that the Chiyuv Misa and the status of the one who lights the fire as a Rodev only applies during that very moment that he lights the fire. Aval Achakach, but later on when the fire does whatever it has to do, he's no longer a Rodev. Because Mimarashav Einam Achiyuv Misa. Correct? Because if at the moment of Hatzotzas HaEsh he kills the Eved, then he could be Chayav Misa. And the reason for that is he'd be Potter from Tashlumin. And the reason for that is that he's a Rodev. But anything that happens afterwards, he's certainly not a Rodev anymore. The Im Yochel Lechabos, Hare Yochel Atzilo Aidei Kibui. He needs this extra svar over here. He says, why isn't he a Rodev? Because he could always put out the fire. Hare yochel atzilo al yedei kibui. We could actually save the victim, you know, the future victim, by putting out the fire. So the lighting of the fire is not inevitably going to cause the death of the Eved. And therefore, there's no din of a rodev. Which means it's dami yochol atzilo b'echad meivarov. That if there's a way of putting out the fire, then there's no din of rodev. Again, even though the madlik is certainly morally responsible and for this horrendous act, and he's, you know, reprehensible act, and he should be put to death. But nevertheless, it becomes yochol atzilo b'echad meivarov. That we don't put to death the person who caused someone else's death. We just...
But that's always true. You're always hired to be Matzo B'Yachad Me'Evarav.
Good. So let's say it's a case of Eino Yochel Lechavos, right? He's just going through the various scenarios. If it's a scenario where it's Yochel Lechavos, then for sure this is not a Rodev, because you can do the Kibui and prevent the death of the Eved. But we must therefore assume that it's out of control. There's no way, no how that he can put it out before the Eved is killed. In case Shuvei Nerodev Klal Shrei Kvar E Efshar LaHatzil Nefesh and Nirdav B'Nafsha Shel Erodev. If we're saying that there's no possibility of putting out the fire, then at this moment in time he's no longer Erodev. Right, because the whole idea of a rodef is that you can spare the victim and save his life by putting out the life of the rodef. Well, that's not so anymore because it's Eino Yochel L'Chavos. So what are you going to do? You're going to kill a second person? You're going to kill the rodef? When the nirdaf himself is going to die as well? The whole purpose of killing the rodef is to save the life of the nirdaf.
You can bring him to trial.
Yeah, if you can bring him to trial, it's great, but that doesn't give him a bit of a rodef.
No, right. The rodef is over.
Right.
If killing the rodef won't help the nirdaf, then he's, right, by definition, not a rodef. So you can't.
So again, what did the Rashba gain by saying he's part of paying for the Gaddish and he introduced the cats of the rodef? Yeah. Is Mimonav Shach. If we could still save the Eved by putting out the fire, then he's not a rodef. If Elamai, you have no choice but to assume that it's impossible to put out the fire because before he kills, it spreads and kills the Eved. So why are you killing the rodef? The whole purpose and the hetter for killing the rodef is l'hatzolos ha'nirdaf. Now you tell me it's inevitable that the nirdaf is going to be killed. The fire is already out of control. So that's question number one. The old kasha, and furthermore, my hikshav is sov tvoro. The reish lakish, amai potter al godish, kish and nisraf, li acham misas ha'eved. He doesn't understand how you could be potter on the godish if the eved dies first and then the godish is destroyed. Because reish lakish is of the opinion that isho mishum mamono. And in the case of mamon, if he burns down someone's Gaddish through his Eish, then he's chayav for paying, he has to pay damages under the Mazik of Eish. So he says the following, forget about the logic that he should be potter for paying for the Gaddish, because it's let's call it one maisa or something along that line. He says, nichale. We could have answered the question in a different way. Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan de Bechiv Mishum Rodef Niftar Mitashlum Agadish Hani Hochinami Lerei Shlokish Nem Kshehitzis Begufa Shlevet. Now, if you're analyzing this sugya and Rabbi Yochanan's halach that he's potter from paying for the Gaddish from the perspective of Rodef, then even according to Rei Shlokish, this should be a perspective of Rodef. So I'm very excited about that because we came up with that question on our own. Ubiyoser kasha duluch ora lirish lakish afilu hecha sheitzis esa godish velo begufo shalever havi le rodef. Even if he lit not the Eved but rather the godish, which was one of the answers of the Rashba before, he still has the status of a rodef. Even if I don't hold from Isho Mishum Chitzav, but nevertheless he's in control of a fire that's going to kill the Eved. Ubiyosir kosher d'lechora l'reish lakish afiu heich shehitzit sisak godish v'lo begufa shel Eved havi le rodef. He still is a rodef. Even if you don't hold Isha Mishum Chetz, even if he's Isha Mishum Amono, Mikomakom lo gora mi rodev, al yedei grova demashmim kamaduchti, denitan gamke latzila benafsha. As we don't require Meister Tzicha Mamish, but even something like Momona Mazik, if he sets up an age that's going to kill someone, and inevitably the person's going to die unless we intervene, then we're obligated to do so under the law of rodev. He came my part, HaGemara, Arish Lokish, Amai Potal Agdi, Vehagodish, Ilu Kotal Toria Avdo, Vehule, Hashapi Miftar, Midin Rodev. In other words, it seems like the Gemara, the way the Rashba presents it, is only operating with Rodev in the context of Rabbi Yochanan, of Isha Mishum Chitzav. But in truth, the law of Rodef should apply anytime that you're a Gorim. You don't have to do a Maiser Ritzicha, but if you're a Gram Hariga, you're indirectly causing the death of someone, you're a Rodef. You're not a Rotzeach, but you're a Rodef. And therefore we have to put you to death. So why does Gemara ask the question according to Reish Lakish? Why is the Mishnah saying that he's part on the Gadi, on the Gedi and the Gadish, since Reish Lakish rejects the principle of Isha Mishum Chitza? Reish Lakish would also come to the same conclusion, albeit through a different pathway, and he would justify the Ptur on the Eved, the Ptur on the Gadish and the Gedi, based on the fact that there's Kimlev the Rab, that there's Rodev, that's Aloch of Rodev. And why is there Aloch of Rodev? After all, he's not lighting up the Eved directly. The answer is that even in the case of Groma, which is normally called a Lavar Maisa, you know, Groma means you didn't do the action, but nevertheless, that's enough to make you into a Rodev. In other words, we're not going to go through Taurus Maisa and get up a Maisa at Tzich in order to set up a din of a rodef, because as long as you're the cause of someone's death, that's enough to be a rodef.
In all of these cases, is the eved kafut?
Yeah, it's always got to be eved kafut, because otherwise you're not going to
get away.
Right.
So that's not possible.
This distinction here, or this point about the fact that even the groma, you have a din of a rodef, that is very much reminiscent of the famous case, and I only say this because we're Erev Tisha B'Av, the famous case of the Holocaust, where the Nazis were able to find them because the baby was crying, and the question was whether they should strangle, whether they should suffocate the baby as a rodef. I mean, there it's a rodef begroma. You know, it's not like the baby is shooting anybody, killing anybody. I mean, that's also another, there's another issue.
But there's an assumption in rodef that there's an intentionality.
Oh, so that's actually the sugi of katan. The Gemara says, katan, shirodef acher chavero, is hargino, so we'll kill a katan. Even though in laws of intention, a katan is a la bardas, he's not considered someone who has kavana. That's why, at least according to Rambam Shita, we kill the fetus if his birth is going to endanger the life of the mother.
Right.
Again, there are all sorts of conditions, but just in general, conceptually, the fetus is called a rodev. That's the Rambam Shita. Others say that you kill the fetus because it's not considered a chai, it's not considered a human being with viability. But the Rambam says no. We kill the fetus under the law of the rodev. That also is a case where clearly the fetus is not in any way morally responsible for the death of his mother, that's for sure. You know, there's no intention here whatsoever, it's a fetus. Therefore, we're assuming that even if you hold Isha Mishum Mamono, not like Reish Lakish, that Eish is only an indirect Hezek, you know, first you light the fire and then the fire spreads, and that's the sheet of Reish Lakish. Nevertheless, he should be potter for the Gadish, because when he lights up the Gadish, he's already at that moment a Rodev to endanger the life of the Eved. And the Eved is kofus.
And what would Reish Lakish hold in that?
The Gemara says that according to Reish Lakish, we have a kasha. Why does the Mishnah say he's potter from the Gadish? Because Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Isha Mishum Mamona. But now we're suggesting that according to the Rashba, that we're introducing a new variable into the equation. He's potter from Tashlume Mamon because of the halacha of Rodev. Then even according to Reish Lakish, well, it's Isha Mishum Mamono. Nevertheless, the Madlik is still called a Rodev.
As opposed to Isha Mishum Chitzo.
Oh, Isha Mishum Chitzo, for sure he's a Rodev, because there he's actually killing the the Eved with a direct action. And at the same time, Isha Mishum Chitzo makes him into the mazik of the Gadi, of the Gadish or the Gedi, because the fire is his continuous action. But the Gemara argues that according to Reish Lakish, he's going to have to pay for the Gadish or the Gedi, because his Kli of Misa began and ended before with the killing of the Eved, even before he incurred a chiv mazik for destroying the gedi or the gadish. So according to Reish Lakish, Gemara says that he'd have to pay for that, because there's no simultaneity, and therefore we cannot apply the principle of Kimlei D'Ramina. But now we have a more fundamental question, and that is, forget about the termination of his action, and now it's just the Eish that he created, and he has to watch the Eish that's called Momen HaMazik. Forget about all that. It's an entirely different reason why the Madlik should be potter for the Gadish, and that's because of Rodev. And the law of Rodev is not subject to a machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's irrelevant to the Isha Mishav Emona, Isha Mishav Chita. He's simply a Rodev because he's on the warpath to kill somebody. Again, not intentionally, but even unintentionally. So that even if we assume that that's his language here, al yidei grama, okay, we may have confused two concepts, but they're very, very close to each other. There's a concept called shelo biyidia, or otherwise known as shogeg, and there's a concept al yidei grama. Al yidei grama means that he's about to kill someone by setting up a chain, a pattern, that's a framework that's going to eventually bring about his death. That's also considered a rodev.
Even grama.
Even the grama.
What's an example of grama here?
Here, the example of grama is, if you hold like Reish Lakish that Isha Mishimamono, then when he lights up the Eved, he's not considered to be a Madlik Esagadi or Madlik Esagadish. Why? Because Isha Mishimamono means that once the direct and immediate burning has taken place, after that he's only a grama. He's only responsible for that which is Eish might do, because he created that Eish. That's called grama. Is he considered a rodev? And the answer is, yeah, call him a rodev al yidei grama. And that should be enough to exempt him from payment for the Gdi or the Gadish, even according to Reish Lakish, even if I assume that Isha Mishum Amona, we have a situation of Grama here, we should still potter him up based on the din of Rodev. That's the question that we want to ask today on the Rashba. Now he suggests here a number of answers, and this you'll see on page Reish. And what I'm going to try to do here, and I need your help, is I want you to read through the text as you have it there. I'm going to just, for expedience sake, I'm just going to read you his own summary of what he wrote.
Reish Memal.
Reish Memal, correct. Mm-hmm. He says, Arba biurim b'achronim b'dvarim. There are four different ways in the Achronim of explaining the Rashba. So we're going to go through the four if we can. Let's start with the first. The Rashba Sfirale, the Maisa Sheneskayev Olav Misa, E Efsha Lechayev Al Oso Maisa Mamon. Now this is very similar to what we said about Tosus, that it's all a din in a maisa, that you can't have a maisa which generates a chiv misa and at the same time generates a chiv mamon. Do you follow? It's that sheet of Tosus that we mentioned before of one long maisa. So the maisa begins at point A and ends at point B, and in between he incurs a chiv mamon. So since it's all one maisa, that both was machayv and misa and mamon, it's not like the case where, let's say, while he was throwing something, at the same time he was koresh yiraim shel chavero, but rather the very act for which he's chayv misa is the very same act for which he's chayv mamon. So therefore, even though it's bazech or zeh, that means the chiyuv misa was generated at time t1, and then it was avelus. I'm sorry, I lost it for a second. Let me just get it again. I confused it with another sugya that I was learning earlier about Tisha B'Av. So I'm sorry, I got distracted. Let me get back on track. So he says the following: he burns the eved, and then he burns the gedi or the gadish. The Rashba holds that since it's one long continuous maisa, even though the two chiyuvim are chal bazecher zeh, at one point he's chayif mishum what? Mishum ritzichon, and at the other point he's chayif mishum mazik. He says, the chiyuv ha-misa, mesalik chiyuv momim maisa zeh. Once there's a chiyuv misa embedded, inherent in this maisa, it could never generate a chiyuv momim. So it may be that the chiv moment is going to be incurred later on, but it's all part of one maisa. That maisa already has the p'tur of kimleim d'rabinik built into the maisa, and that's going to spread and encompass the entire maisa, even when later down the line this maisa is mechayiv him moment.
So kimleim would be p'tur the moment.
Right, why? Because the Chiyuv Mamani, although it was generated subsequent to the Chiyuv Misa, but nevertheless it was generated by the same Misa, so there's one umbrella Misa that encompasses both the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon. The Chiyuv Misa establishes that this Misa will never generate a Chiyuv Mamon. Amal kol zeh hu kshach Chiyuv Misa hu al etzem Misa. Wow. This is pretty way out. I wish he would tell you who's saying it. Maybe you have it actually in your footnotes. Because I don't have the footnotes here on this page. Oh, okay, so good. That's probably Rabbi Moshe Sokolovsky. That's probably the Baal HaMemor here. So he's saying the following: that in the case of Ritzicha, the Chiv Misa is not because of the Misa per se, but because of the result of the Misa, namely the murder of the victim. That's called Arigas HaEved. The Hadlok in this case is the Goreim, it's the Misa Goreim, but it's not the Mechayev itself. The Mechayev itself of the Chiv Misa is the Arigas HaEved. Therefore, if these two chiyuvim were not chal at the same time, we're not going to apply kimlei b'derabim. Hence, the Rashba is going to ask his kasha according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan insist that he's potter in the gadish? So, in other words, at this particular juncture, the Rashba is analyzing this kimlei b'derabim from the perspective of Ritzicha. And in the case of Ritzicha, he's not chayav for the Maisa, in this case the Adloka, but rather he's chayav for the result of the Maisa when the Eved dies. And the Adloka, therefore, is only a Maisa Shigorem L'chiyuv Misa. If that be the case, we don't have a Chiyuv of Asachas. Now, again, exactly how this is going to kick in to, for example, Hotzah or Havaras Dalet Amos on Shabbos, I don't know. Because those are the cases in which we apply Kimlei B'Derabim Minei. What are we going to say? It's all one Maisa. You hear what he's saying? He's applying two different rules to two different cases. In the case where he's, let's say, for example, Zorek Chetz, there he's chai for the Maisa, the Zrikas Chetz, as long as there's Anoche afterwards, of course. But in the case of, you know, lighting a fire, there he's not chai for the Maisa, but rather he's chai for the Misa Sa'evet, the Arigas Sa'evet, which lowers the status of that lock of the lighting of the fire to a Gorim. It's a Goreim Chiyuv Misa, but it's not inherent in the Maisa itself. Mainaf Kimina, im lo cholu achiyuvim bevas achas lo mifter mishum kim de rabine. It's not enough to say, well, it was all part of one mice, meaning he lit up the fire which killed the Eved and also destroyed the Gadish, and it's all one mice, and we should apply kim de rabine. No, that's not so. Why? Because we're talking about ritzicha, and a ritzicha, the chiyuv is not inherent in the mice. So the mice is only a gorim, what he calls a gorim. It's the backdrop, it's the background of the ritzicha, but it's not the ritzicha itself. And if it's not the ritzicha itself, then the only way we can apply kimle d'rabine is through the classic channel of the vasachas.
So it would be different if he killed the eved the adayim, as opposed to lighting a fire that ultimately kills the Eved. Even if the killing of the Eved, even if he lit the Eved directly with fire, it's still not the same as killing him with a knife. You wouldn't say the knife is like the fire.
Right. I think what he's saying is that the issue of kimle d'rabine, you have to ask yourself, when he destroys someone else's property, is it that he finished the chiyuv misa and then subsequently he destroyed his property? We cannot link the two together, sew them up to create a bevasachas, because it was bezecher zeh.
Even though it's maisecher?
Even though it's maisecher. Why? Because the chiyuv misa rotzech is not for the maisa. The mice is only a goreim l'chiyuv misa, and the chiyuv misa is for the arigas ha'eved. So when do we have a chance to say that if two actions, a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv mam, took place bozeh or zeh, in chronological sequence, when do we have right to apply kimle ramine? That's only in a case where the chiyuv is a result of a mice. But if the chiyuv is a result of the totsas ha-maisa, death of the eved, and the hadlok is only the maisa gorim, then there's no relationship between that maisa gorim and the killing of the gedi, or the burning of the gadish that's subsequent to the killing of the eved. I can only link up or sew up the two together if I have one maisa. But Ritzifa just is not a good candidate for that, because in Ritzifa you're not chai for the Maisa. The Maisa is only a gram chiyuv. This is the chiddush of the Imrei Moshe. And that's going to be the first approach. Again, the Rashba doesn't understand why he should be potter when he lights the Eved. Why should he be potter for the subsequent destruction of the Gadish? If the Mechayev for the Eved is called the Harigas HaEved, then there's no way that you can link up the Harigas HaEved with the Harigas HaGdi, or the Sreifas HaGadish, which took place subsequently, and you cannot apply the principle of Kimle V'Ramine, because they're two separate actions that took place for Zachar Zeh. But if we can integrate them into one action, then the chalos of Kimle V'Ramine is chal on this action from head to toe, from beginning to end. And that, I think, is the case of Zorik Chetz V'Kar Shirayim Shel Chavero, because there it's one Maisa. And theoretically, if let's say after the person completed his Meleches Havara, he would then destroy Shabbat Shirayim, so that would be Bozachar Zeh, and you would not apply the principle of Kimle D'Ramine, unless it was Maisa Echad. But you cannot have Maisa Echad in the case of Ritzicha, because the Maisa is only a Gorim, but he's Chayav Misa because he killed the Eved. Now he has the second approach. Are you ready for the second approach? Any questions on the first approach? Do you mind if we go on to the second approach? He says, "Afal pishi efshel chayv al ma'isa echad misu mama nafil kshe'enach yuvim chalam v'vasachas." Now, if we have this overriding umbrella kimlev the rabbine that allows me to extend one ma'isa to cover, you know, like what does it say there by Boaz to Rus? You know, he says, "I'll cover you." Right here, also, I'll cover you with this umbrella. Umbrella coverage, or like an awning that comes from the Chiyuv Misa to encompass the Chiyuv Mamon that comes subsequently. And why is that? Because it's all part of one Maisa. Mikomakom ve'inah shekvar yochel Chiyuv Misa b'shas asiyas ha'maisa shal yod yomel lidei Chiyuv Mamon. Well, achein rak Chiyuv midin rodei poter es Chiyuv ha'mamon shebol achar kach, avol Chiyuv Misa midin rotzeach Hugak al harigas ha'eved v'lo al atzotzas ha'esh v'lchein eno yochel liftar chiv mamon sheba achakach. So this is a whole new approach to the Rashba. He's saying that although one maisa would be enough to engender and activate kimay b'dramine, but we have another condition, and that is that there's a chiv misa that's engendered by that Maisa, which is given Mechayiv in Mamon. And how do you set that up? If the Chiyuv Misa is Midin Rotzeach, then he's Chayiv for the Arigas HaEved. The only way you can do that is if you apply the Din of Rodev. Alright, let's go on to the third interpretation. The Rashba is really the Gamba Maisa Echad, Shemachayiv Misa Mamon. Ein kimle the Rami Potter elam kein cholu shneach yuvim v'vasachas. Now, when is he going to be chayav for killing the eved? Is it at the moment that he lights up the fire, or is it the moment that the eved dies? In other words, when isha l'shulchito, does that mean he's chayav from the moment that he lights the eish?
From the moment that he lit it, he would already.
You ready to be chayev
on?
He's going to be. He's chayev on the ritzicha, and then he's potter on the damages. Why? Because we're saying a new definition of isha mishum chitzo, which allows the chiv misa to be inherent in the hadlok itself, the very moment that he lights the fire. And this, he says, depends upon the Muki Yosef. Muki Yosef vacillates back and forth how to understand Isha Mishum Chitzov. Is it like a Zorik Chetz situation where all the Chiyuvim are inherent in the Maisa's Rika? Or no? He's Chayv for the ultimate burning that takes place down the line. That was in Mukiyos' kash about Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, right? If he's chayev for the ultimate hadlaka, well, that hadlaka is going to take place on Shabbos. Now, what happens is, if he's chayev for the hadlaka, then the continuous hadlaka takes place on Shabbos. It's all part of his Maisa Machayev. The Muki Yosef could only justify Hadlokas Ner Shabbos if you say that the Hadlaka itself, or shall we say inherent in the Hadlaka, is the burning that's going to happen later on. So at time T1, he creates the fire. The fire is going to burn at time T2. So he's chayev for the burning that takes place at time T2. So the Muki Yosef says, if that be the case, how are you allowed to light near Shabbos? Because time T2 and the burning completes itself is on Shabbos itself. The answer must be that we have a different definition of Isha Mishum Chitzov. And that means that Isha Mishum Chitzov is all inherent in the original Maisad Loka. So he's chayv for the original Maisad Loka. Like, let me ask you a question, just l'saber sa'ozen, don't take me too seriously now, but at what point would you give a person asra in the case of Isha Mishum Chitzov? At the time he lit the fire, at the time it's just about to kill somebody? what would have been your knee-jerk response?
Just before he finished.
Right, when he finishes killing someone, right? And hence, the Mukiosis Kash is, how could I light a near Shabbos?
Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be burning on... Because it's going to be burning on Shabbos.
Correct.
So it's just, if you lit it on Shabbos.
Correct. It's as if, let's say there's oil, right? It's as if you're burning the oil on Shabbos itself. And this kasha forced the Rebbe Yosef to assume that all your chiyuvim are inherent in the moment that you light the shemen, not when the shemen goes up in smoke. The consumption of the shemen is going to be mechayev him, but he's chayev for the Maisa Gavra of the Anloka, which took place on Erev Shabbos in this case. Right? If he lit the candle on Erev Shabbos. Now let's just think how that impacts on Kimlev the Rabbi. So he's saying the following, that if you accept the maskana, the conclusion of Muki Yosef, that if you hold Isha Mishum Chitzov, he doesn't have, there's one thing he changes from what I said. He says it's not that the Mukiosi's final maskana is that you incur a chiyuv misa at the time when the burning takes place, but rather you chay from the time that you were madlik the fire. So Mukiosi is going to have to give another justification for how we're allowed to be madlik near Shabbos. So in essence, you're chayav for the original Maisa Adloka. Just one second. B'shas Hazrika. Oh, do you see where on the third line he says B'shas Hazrika, Nasa Kol. It's Nechshav Ki'ilu Kfar Hidlik. Ka'es es ha-gadosh.
It's, you're no longer in control of it, and
the chiv is for the zrika.
Happen, whatever happens was going to happen from that moment.
Correct.
At the Shabbat at the first place. So if you say Yisho Mishum Chitzo, then the same thing. When you light the fire, it will inevitably it will burn what it burns.
And you're chayav for lighting the fire.
At the moment that you lit it, not at the moment when it
goes up
to
when it consumes
a certain
place. Yeah, and now we can justify Adlokas Ner Shabbos if you follow me. That on Erev Shabbos he lights it, so he could only be chayav for the lighting itself of Yom Yishmashim.
Right, and that was before Shabbos.
And that was before
Shabbos.
So that,
it's okay.
So let's see how that impacts on Kim Levi the Rabbi. And he says the following. That if we assume that the Rashba holds like the Nebuki Yosef, and you're only and the Chiv is inherent in the original Zrika, then it's considered that when the Gadish gets burnt up, he burnt it at the time that he lit the Gadish. L'chein yischayv midin rodev al hadloka. Right, already at the time that he was madlik, and now it's going to go and spread and kill someone. At that moment, when he was madlik, he became. He became a rotzeach.
It's not a sure thing. You know, the wind will come and blow it the other way, and then
right.
It won't get to the Eved.
Well, we're talking about, let's say, a ruach mitzuya. So if we can predict already at the time of the hadloka that he'll be killing the Eved, then he's a rodef at that moment.
Yes.
And the gishmak here is that we can put him to death because... Just a second. Oh, so here I'm confused because what does it mean he's a he's a rodef. I'm a little confused because usually we kill a rodef because he's about to kill someone, so we're going to save the nirdaf, but here we want to say as a din of a rodef the very moment he lights the fire.
Right,
So again, one thing is clear, that there's a difference between Rotzeach and Rodef. Rotzeach is chayev only when he kills the Eved. But from the perspective of Isha Mishum Chitzav, we can set up a din Rodef already at the time, at the moment that he lights the fire. That's what he has over here. I'll just read it to you one more time, and again, if you have Resh Mem Gil, you'll see it in the, you know, fleshed out a little bit more. That's why I need your help for that. He says that Nechshav Kiilu Kvar Hidlik B'Eis Ka'Eisas HaGodish V'Lachek Shechayev Midin Rodef Al Adloka Nitzah Shechiv Misu Boi Kachas. Do you follow? Anything that happens as a result of his Adloka, he's chayev from right now, at the moment of Adloka. So 50 million things can happen sequentially, and they're all bevasachas, they're all simultaneous, because we go back to the Maisad Loka. That's all if you go with the din of Rodef. But if you go with the din of Chiyuv Misumi din Rotzeach, then you're not going to say that all these Chiyuvim are simultaneous. Yeah. Because the Chiyuv Misa is only Chal when he destroys the life of the Eved. And that's going to be way later on. So how do we have a right to say that there's already a din of a Rodef from the time of that Loka? And that's going to be, if I assume like the Mukiosi's understanding, that Isha Mishum Chitza means that the Chiv is already inherent in the original Adlok. Because then that original Adlok will generate a Chiv for a million different things that are going to happen as a result of this Reifa down the line. Certainly, you know, for the killing of the Eved and the burning of the Gadish, the burning of the Gdi. It's all a result of one moment of chiyuv. That's called vasachas, and that activates the principle of kimlei b'derabim. And finally, we get to the fourth possibility, and we'll have to make an overview, you know, a sikkum, maybe we'll do that tomorrow, of all these four possibilities and understanding the Rashba. He says, the kushameikar lesa, the afagav, the chiyuv misa, the rodef who rak al shas had loka mikom kom achiv hu al maise haredifa shenim shach kol zman ad shemesa evet v'im kein I efshal lechayvo mishnei chiyuvim.
So that whole time is taken up with the evet. So you can't have the Eved and the Mammon at the same... Well, you can't understand that.
He's saying, he's breaking new ground here in the fourth interpretation, is that Maisa Radicha ends at the moment that the Eved dies. So we're not going to look at the Maisa of the Gavra, which generates the Chiyuv on the Gadish later on, and say it's all connected to one Maisa, and he's a Rodef. But we're going to say that the, you know, Rodef has a termination time to it. At one moment, he ceases to be a Rodef.
So when he lit the fire,
he became a Rodef because that fire is going to kill the Eved. But the moment the Eved unfortunately dies, you can no longer say that he continues to be a Rodef, even though the subsequent Sreifa and the destruction of the Gadish is a result of his original Adloka. But that doesn't make him into a Rodef now, because the Eved is already gone. Once the Eved is gone, it's Pakash Shem Rodef.
Right, there's no Rodef on a Gadish. It's only Rodef on a life.
What's the difference whether he's mischayev misa on the action after liacher she'asu k'chol chayv mises? Does he already concluded his chayv misa with the death of the eved? Right? If we say like the previous definition that he was chayv already misa on the zrikas ha'chetz or on the adlokas Hagadish,
yeah.
Yeah. He says there's no nafkamina. Okay, let's put this on the side and see if we can go back to Ksuvas. Now, in terms of my study of Ksuvas, I'm at the beginning of in my fast paced year, I'm at the beginning of Perek Nairish and Ispatata.
Oh.
But the reason why Narish and Ispata, at least the beginning of it, is relevant to Eilu Naris, even though Narish and Ispata will address many different dimensions of the rishus of the father over his daughter who's a Naira. Mm-hmm. Does he have a right to Hakesef Kiddushin? Can he claim any wages that come into her possession? So there are many, many different dimensions of that parak, but the beginning of the parak actually touches on the following question. Who's the balabas in the case of onus mafata over the knas? And not only the knas, but we have to talk about also other payments of chavola, which is called bosh supagam. Is the father who's the balabas? Because after all, she's a nara and bidurebe savia. But do we say no? She's really the balabas because after all, she was the anusa, she was the mafuta. So any knas that he has to pay, or any payments, for example, that he has to pay as a ma'anis or mafat, should accrue to her. Just that there's a separate halacha that bidurebe savia, the father represents her, so to speak. And then Afkamina is going to be, what happens if the father dies? Does she now step into the driver's seat? Because really originally the chiv was to her. Just as long as the father's alive, he can collect her chiv. But now that the father is gone, she will collect it directly.
Chiv is because of her.
Oh, is it the chiv is because of her, but the mamon, the schus mamon belongs to the father? Or is it not only that the chiv is because of her, but the schus mamon is hers? Just the Torah, during the period of Nairus, when her father's alive and well, the Torah had Nika, you know, the Torah allowed him, the father, to pick up those chusim that are hers. And then Afkimin is going to be that, if we go with that definition, that the moment that the father is out of the picture, then she goes back to her original rights to collect those monies, because she originally had the chus. It was only that the father was representing her, so to speak, or the father gains monies that come into her possession. But once the father's out of the picture, we go back to the original definition of her, that she really is the Baal HaMoven, that the moment is being paid to her. So the question I have for you is, you have one volume of Ksubas. Does your volume include Narash and Ispatato? It would really depend if you have
It doesn't.
So one second, I do have.
I can get a
Ksuvas. A Gemara Ksuvas floating around here. Let me see if I can. Oh, here. So you want to open up the Nairish and Ispatata.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll see exactly who has the Skus moment on the onus of casting the father's of ours. I'm going to get my Gemara, it's right out here. So this is a little bit shalom kisei there, but if you're not makbid, then we can try to sew it all together at some point. So the Mishnah says the following: Narish and Ispatata. There are three payments that are paid in the case of pitui. It's boshes, pagam, and knas. And the Mishnah says shel avila. Now that's a case of pitui. In the case of onus, is an additional chiyuv, which is called tsar. And boshes, pagam, and tsar are three subcategories of what's called chovel v'chaver, right? The chovel v'chaver pays five different payments. And in the case of onus u'mefate, the assumption is that she can still go to work, so there's no sheves, and she doesn't need doctor's help, so there's no ripui. But there will be boshes, and there will be nezek, and there will be tsar in the case of onus. Onda b'din ad shelo meis ha'av. Remember, we discussed what happens if the father is out of the picture; he dies. Now, if he dies, does he die with the schusim to collect these three payments, which he now bequeaths to his heirs, which would be, let's say, his sons in this case? Mm-hmm. Or do we say that, no, now that the father's out of the picture, so the claim and the schus is hers, and therefore it belongs to her, not to her brother? And the Mishnah says it all depends upon whether the father was alive at the moment of Hamad Bedin, which means that the father sued the Ma'anes or the Mafata in a court of law, and Bezdin issued their final ruling after weighing the evidence and coming to conclusion that Achen, in truth, he was a Ma'anes, he was a Mafata, he's guilty as accused. And at that point, the Schus Gvia, the rights to collect, the onus of Mafata, were already fixed in stone by the decision of the Bezdin. Mm-hmm. And now if the father subsequently dies, then, like any other monies that accrued to him during his lifetime, he bequeaths these monies over to his heirs.
Yes.
However, Mesa Av... Oh, I'm sorry. And therefore, Mesa Av, Harein Shal Achim, fine.
Right.
Oh, but here's the case that we want to deal with. Lo is Pika Lama B'din Acha Mesa Av.
So then, she's standing in the din.
Correct.
Alone.
And she is
not
now the owner of her own tzchuyot.
Then it's going to go to her.
And now she can sue the Ma'anis and Mafata for damages. Yeah. It's Arein Shalatzman. She pockets the money, even though she's still a Nara, but because her father died,
before
Hamad Bedin. So now, at the moment of Hamad Bedin, when the Chiv emerges, she is in the driver's seat here because there's no one blocking her. The father is gone. The same kind of principles, says the Mishnah, apply to Bagra, right? Because the father is out of the picture once she becomes a Bogeris. So, under B'dinat Shelo Bagra, if Bezdin has already established the Chiyuv Onus U'mefata to pay whatever payments, while the father still has Rishus over his daughter because she's what? She's a Nara, is Arein Shalav. Even if they didn't collect these monies until after she was a Bogeris, the father is still in the driver's seat.
Because that Hamad Bedin was before she was a Bulgarian.
Exactly, and at that moment we engrave in stone the schus gvir of the father to collect the various payments, and he does so even after his death, so to speak, meaning that his schuyot are his and guaranteed to be his in such a way that it's like money in his pocket, which he bequeaths with his death to his sons. But lo espika lamad b'dinat shebagra. On the other hand, if she became a bogeres before the gemara din, the father therefore is not considered the balabas over her knas or poshes pagam, because he already was out of the picture before hamad b'din. It comes out that according to our Mishnah, she, the naro, became a bogeres, now steps into the feet of her father as far as the hamad b'din is concerned. But all this has to happen before the Hamad Bedin. So either A, the father died before Hamad Bedin, or B, she became a Bogeris before Hamad Bedin. She's in the driver's seat. That's the Mishnah. And then the last part of the Mishnah records the Machlokes between the Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon. All right, we're going to fast forward to the Gemara itself, which is on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And the Gemara asks, my Kav Mashal, what's the Mishnah teaching me? Tanina, we already have a Mishnah before. Hamafata no sin. So Nahalami, the Gemara thinks that the Mishnah is telling you, is enumerating how many different payments there are. Well, that's explicit in the previous Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tes. Hamafata no sin shol shem tvorim, onis harbo, Hamafata no sin boshet b'kam knas, Moslem onis no sin satsar. So the subject of our mission, the Chiddush Vayeshev, cannot be what payments have to be coughed up by the Ma'anis or the Mafat. That we have already. It must be that the subject of the mission is who gets the Knas, who collects the Knas, who has the exclusive Gvia on the Knas. Nu Lavia, it's just affect the Gemara Lavia Nami Pshita. What are you talking about? The Mishnah, the Torah itself says that the father collects the Knas. Yes. It says, V'nasan Lavia Nara, Chamishim, etc., whatever it is. It says explicitly it's given, the monies are all collected by the Avia Nara. Lavia Nami Pshita. Can't be the Chachamim are formulating a Mishnah here which is Pshita. Now, what does the Gemara mean when it says "mi de koyoyiv mefate"? Oh, I see. See, the Gemara doesn't have a very simple case here, because although the Torah does say "vinasan lavia nara," but that's only in the case of an onus. What about in the case of pitui? So the assumption is that we have a gzera shava between pitui and onus, and in both cases the father collects the knas and the boshu supagam. So now the question is the following: meaning kiyoyev mefata, from the fact that the mefata pays boshu supagam and knas, and that goes to the father and not to her, so that's the case of what? Of mefata. Oh, the Eli Atzma. Oh, maybe you'll say that Mafat is a little different than Ones. In Ones, the money go to the father. But in the case of Mafat, she should collect the money. Harami died to Ovid. But the answer is she's not going to be able to collect anything because she consented to have this relationship, this layers, this experience of Peter. So since she was maskim, therefore that becomes a mechila, and there's no way that she could possibly collect it. So we want to show. If you're talking about a case of ma'anis, for sure the father collects it, because the Torah says so explicitly. And if you're talking about a case of mafater, and the Torah says he pays these three payments, it's got to be to the father and not to her, because as far as she's concerned, she's a mochelis. Now this will really impact on our original question as to whether or not the knas really belongs to her, and the father is just, so to speak, he's the front man, he's representing her, or the knas belongs to the father. Well, in the case of Peter, there's no way, no how that you could say the knas belongs to her. Why? Because since she consented, she becomes a mochelis. So the Gemara answers, Amada b'din itzrichle. The chiddush of that Mishnah is that the father gains his rights at the moment of Amar B'din. And at that moment, the Chiyuvim are, so to speak, engraved in stone. It's like his possessions in his pocket, even though it hasn't yet been deposited in his bank account. But nevertheless, he has absolute rights to collect that because of Amar B'din. And as a result, he can bequeath these payments to his children, her brothers. Istrichle. So now we need to understand the following. At what point in time, halachically, does the schus become a full-fledged bialis of mama? We've been assuming that the critical moment is Hamad bin Din. And with Hamad bin Din, we have a chiv mama that's like any other chiv mama. And the father collects it.
At what point does it become mama?
Exactly. And we've been assuming, which is true according to the Chachamim, but that's a gewaldige chiddush, that it becomes mama at the moment of Hamad bin Din. We would think that it's a knas. And with regard to knas, let's focus on the chamishim shekel of knas. The father has rights to the knas, but if he's not alive, he no longer has rights to the knas. Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
Let's just go over it one more time. If the money is in his bank account, then of course when he dies, like anything else that's in his possession, it goes to the yorshim. But if he never collected that money, then it's a knas. And if it's a knas, well, guess what? It's not really a chiyuv mamon. If it's not really a chiyuv mamon, so what rights does the father have to something that's not a chiyuv mamon? If he's alive, he has rights. But if he's not alive, like let's say, for example, we have halach of karban shvua. What's a karban shvua? Karban shvua means that I'm toveh you mamon, and if you deny that you owe me this money and you take a shvua, then you become chayav karban asham gzelos, and you have to pay a chomesh, and that's called a karban shvua. But again, a karban shvua is because you deny the claim, and I'm being mashbir you in order to encourage you or to influence you to be mode. Well, that doesn't apply in the case of a knas, because mode of a knas is potter. So the whole enterprise of a shvua is futile, because if the purpose of the shvua is to get the
Hodah,
which is the flip side of the kfira, yeah. and instead he was kofir, so then he could be chayav a karban shvua with all the implications, but that's because we wanted him to cough up a hodah, but that doesn't apply to a case of knas.
Yeah.
So for example, Reb Shimon is going to be of the opinion that if he takes a shvua on a knas, even if the knas was already past Hamad of Adin, like let's say for example Reuven is Tovea Shimon, and he says that your shar killed my Evan and Yechai Shloshim Shal Evan. And not only that, but we took this case into a Bezdin up there in the north, and they paskin that you have to pay me the Shloshim Shal Evan, so it's already after Amon Abedin. And now the owner of the shar denies the whole story. He says, you're making up, the whole thing is a fabrication. And he denies it. Then the owner of the Eved is mashpia him. So would there be a carbon of what's called a carbon shvua? And the answer is no, says Rav Shimon. Why? Because where's the kfiras mamon? Kfiras mamon is always the flip side of a hodas mamon. But in this case, if he'd have been mowed there, he's being mowed on a knas. So the Chacham said, what are you talking about? According to the claim, there already was Hamad Abedin, and once there was Hamad Abedin, then it's no longer Knas, it's a Chiyuv Mamon. So the question really is here whether Hamad Abedin transforms a Knas into a Chiyuv Mamon. So Rav Shimon is of the opinion, no, we need the actual Gevir, the money has to be in the bank. Mm-hmm. Until it's in the bank, it's still called a Knas, and you're collecting a Knas. And the Chacham say, no, once there was Hamad Abedin, then we transform the Knas into Mamon. Now in the back here, we have what's called the Alkut HaBi'urim. Yeah? I've mentioned this in the past. One second. Okay.